Let me just pray here for a second and we'll get started. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for your goodness. You're so great, Lord. Who can withstand your will? I'm so glad you're humbling these people. Oh, that so many of them can and will get saved. Thank you for humbling them for the purpose of saving their lives. It's nothing about losing an election compared to spending eternity in hell, and they don't seem to understand that. So I thank you for humbling them so that they can begin to understand. My heart weeps for them, Lord. Hell is forever, and as you know, you've taken me there a good many times. I promise I would never be disappointed or saddened if I never had to go back. It's so terrible. And I hope these people will get themselves a heart of wisdom to know what their end may be should they not repent of all of their shenanigans. Now, Father, I pray that you will help me tonight. Give me the words, the wisdom, the understanding of your great mind, your great heart, your profound will, your beautiful spirit. Help us to know and understand what only you can give us. Those things that are above all things, where you rule, you dwell and you rule, you dwell and you reign. Help us to understand these important things so that we can pray aright and join you in satisfying your heart to see your will come to pass. We love you, Father. We love you. We love your holiness. We love your mercy. We love your truth. We love your love. Everything about you is so wonderful. And we thank you for that. Tonight, hold us by the hand. Carry us in the palm of your hand, Lord, as we explore just a little bit about your world and where you're calling us for the sake of your dear Son. In your precious name, amen. Now, I think that probably a great many of you would know a little bit about what it means to say that Jesus is truth. But like me, you probably don't think you know nearly enough about that truth. Little play there. I would like to know eons worth. I'm sure you would too. Truth immemorial. I'm sure you would too. to explore the truth that is in the Father. We could take eternity to do and love every exciting moment. There's so much. It's so great, it's so powerful, it's so beautiful, it's so, well, it's just so everything. All things good and nothing bad. Tonight, what little we have to see may seem so big to some, to others. It may seem a good start on a great thing. I don't know how people take it or will take it tonight. All I know is when you start talking to me about truth, my heart just melts in your presence because truth is so beautiful, and it's so beautiful because that's who and what you are. So help us tonight, Lord. Help me speak to those that might say, oh, wow, this is a new thing. I didn't understand all this. And help me speak to those that might say, well, Nita, I've heard a little bit about this before through you, and it's good to know it still stands. But for me, whatever you put into my heart, I want that and that alone to come forth to meet the needs of the people that are with us tonight. Bless them, for they have stood for you, Lord. They stood for your truth. They stood for your promise, believing, even when it seemed impossible to keep believing. They chose to believe anyway. They stood for you, Lord. And how great you are, and how much you appreciate it. It means so much to you that they have stood for the truth of your word, of your will, of your words. And you give us the grace, the wisdom, the understanding to be able to do that, Lord. And it excites my heart. It thrills me, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for blessing them tonight because they made the right decision. And by it, may they be stronger tomorrow. In your precious name. Amen. Okay, so I do want to say this before we go on to the second scripture. I'd like to read this because this is so exciting. Paul says in verse 17, chapter 1, for I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. If you live in the northern country or countries and it begins to snow, it's not a heavy snow, it's just a light snow. You can look out over that nice layer of snow. And stop and think this to yourself. This reminds me that the knowledge and the wisdom that we have as Christians today is a small thing. It is the equivalent of this single layer of snow compared to the eternity of knowing Him, of finding those deep, intimate secrets that are so robust, so powerful, so beautiful, and over the generations, over the millenniums, over the eternal ages upon the ages of the church, compared to all that has been assigned to be given to us throughout eternity. No matter how great some of His truths, some of His mysteries are, they are so small to what's coming. And when you get to heaven and you start seeing some of those mysteries, you're going to think, this is the most wonderful thing I have ever experienced. The mysteries of knowing Christ, the mysteries of knowing the secrets of God. Wow. Wow. Then it says in the bottom half of verse 18, He's flooded us with light, and the purpose of this is that we may understand the hope to which He has called us, and how rich is His glorious inheritance in the saints. And so that we can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength through Christ. He has raised us to the place of appropriating all that. That is amazing, my friends. That is amazing. He is knowledge. He is wisdom. He is understanding. He is prudence. He is mysteries. He is glorious. All that we know, all that we ever hope to know, is going to be so extraordinary that there are hardly words to express. Now, as I was talking to you a moment ago, I saw a flash, a flash vision of something He showed me last night. He took me to heaven for just a moment. And He showed me something about these mysteries and how the mysteries will become known once we're in heaven. And I have to admit the program was a little better than I thought it might be. But I just was astounded every place he took me, and he took me several different places. But isn't this terrible? I forgot all about that until just now. The communications in heaven are so different than they are here. And they're fuller. They're more complete. They say so much more than what our language allows us to say now. So every time a mystery is released, there is a fattening that comes to the Christian. The fattening of truth. And it's very healing, very cleansing, because it's so pure. There's so much for us to hear, so much for us to see. It's just amazing. Now, I want to share with you, before we go to the next scripture, later on in Ephesians. Many years ago, 1988, I think it was, I was in my room alone when the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to me. And for those of you who have heard about this experience before, it was quite the experience. When I saw him, I was astounded at what I was seeing. I couldn't believe it. Couldn't believe my eyes. But I watched him just stupefied by what I was seeing. Finally, I just chuckled. And I said, "Lord, you're so fat. You're so fat." He just smiled. He didn't get offended at all. He just smiled. And I said it again because I was astounded. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. So I just kept saying stupid things. And I said to him again, "Lord, you're so fat. You're so fat. Oh, Lord, you're so fat with truth." And he was. I saw moving throughout his entire being what you might say were scriptures bearing truth. It was nonstop, ever moving, ever enlightening. And he was 500 pounds fat with that. He would never lack for truth. He would never lack for understanding or knowledge or proper perception. If he would just think, if he would just wait a moment when asked a question or challenged, he would have the answer he needed to give. He was fat with truth. He never lied. He couldn't lie. And that was a beautiful, beautiful experience. And I was told in 1988, I was told that I would be taken into union with truth. And he gave me some dates. that would happen. So let's skip, if you will, to ahead to 2009. That was the second date promised. I was standing and ministering in the pulpit when I really couldn't say anything. Suddenly, the Lord dropped into my spirit a dollop of truth. And it immediately enlarged to what might be equated to an ocean, with the waves of the ocean rising up and slapping the coast. That was going on inside of me. But it would grab a hold of my inner man, as it were, and pull me out into the depths of the ocean of truth. Then there was another wave, another stealing me away from the beach and deep into the ocean of truth. And it happened again and again and again. When it finally came to an end, I couldn't talk. I just stood there, so totally undone by what I had just experienced. I didn't know how to talk. I didn't know how to say what was happening to me. But what a beautiful, beautiful experience. And through this experience, I received the impartation of truth that God had prepared for me at that time in my life. And it linked me to Him in a union situation with truth. For days, I found it very difficult to talk. I had company in from out of town. They were at the meeting. And we tried to talk about what had happened, but it was difficult for all of us. Paul said that he saw things and experienced things in heaven that he had no ability to bring forth in the temporal world for their glory, their beauty, their power, the reality of truth. And I understand that because I've had many experiences with him, that if a person sat there and wanted to pummel me with questions, you know, one question after another for an hour, 2 hours, I would just sit there like that, because how do you explain what you saw and felt and experienced, what you perceived, what you came to know? How do you explain? Now, there's a group of men and women that seem to think that they're about 50 years ahead of the rest of the world. And they might have a little difficulty talking to us little peons themselves. And they're only 50 years ahead. Christ is eternally ahead. So how different his knowledge of things than ours. It's all encompassing. It's all knowing. Nothing he doesn't know. Just think about that. Just think What a way to live. And I'm not saying that out of a boastful spirit. I say that because all things are in Christ. All things are in God. So to come to know these mysteries of truth is to come to know our Father and literally to become one with Him concerning these things. You won't know yourself. You will know Him afresh and anew, because the more you know about Him, the more He seems to change, although He says, I change not. Many things in the world change. Things are ever in change, always in change, always in transition. You're always learning. Well, if you want to always learn, you can. And I'm one of those that love to learn. Just for the sake of learning, I don't even have to tell anyone what I know and what I've learned. I just love learning. I've always been that way since a very young child. But knowing and learning Christ and our Father, who knows all, is quite a different experience, quite a different story. And why am I bringing this up? Because to know Him is to love Him. To know Him and to continue to grow in the knowledge of God means experience an utter transformation of you. The day will come that you will see the world differently. You will see people differently. You will see the glorious things of heaven differently. You will see the characteristics of God differently. You will see heaven itself differently, and you will certainly see yourself differently. The day is coming when we will know as we are known. And even then, you cannot help but continue to learn, because God is all knowledge, all understanding, all wisdom. So here we are, we're in a very transitional time in the world's history. And some of the things that are transpiring have been created through our intercessions. It's as though they're digging up the plot of ground to prepare it for the planting of the new. And as things are being dug up, they don't look too cool. I don't know how many people like to go for a walk on the farm and see all this dug up dirt. I'm not in love with that concept, but maybe there are some farmers that just think it's wonderful because it's their livelihood. But that's what we're doing. We're plowing up the fallow ground with our prayers, because God is about ready to give us something brand new. Now listen to this. Listen. Think. Think for a moment. You're a Hebrew living in Egypt. When you went from living the simple life, maybe, that you lived under Jacob, then you were taken into Egypt. Maybe you thought that was the most incredible thing you've ever seen in your life. So this is what city life looked like, huh? Wow. But then you get fast forwarded, time travel, and you go into the world and into life as we know it today. And you are so shocked by what you're seeing. You had no idea. A plane? I've never even heard the word, let alone been in one. Helicopter? Whoa! Never seen anything strange like that before. And the many other things, that, computers, technology, and every conceivable thing you could imagine. You were once a little old farmer, and now you're standing before something that just looks so extravagant, so exceptional. What does it all mean, and how do you use all this stuff? Yet this is nothing compared to where he's taking us. He's taking us to a place where the dreams, the hopes, the ideas, the truths becoming reality are coming out of the mind of God. And you will wonder all over again, what in the world has happened? Your ancestors told you about the way it was standing at the bottom of the mountain when God is revealing himself and opening up history and showing you eternity. I can remember when my great-great-great-great-grandparents told my great-great-grandparents and so on and so forth, who told me. They had no words to explain what they saw. Now, were they seeing what I'm seeing today, or were they seeing something even greater? How could the human mind bear it? But bear it it will. You made a very wise decision to give your life to Christ, and you made a very wise decision when you decided to fall in love with truth, fall in love with the Word, fall in love with Christ, fall in love with the kingdom. Very wise decision. Because the things he wants to relate to his church are beyond anything you can find in the earth. And that's what I'm here to tell you. No matter what happens in your days, your remaining days on earth, God has got something in store for you that is so much greater. You cannot comprehend it. So no matter what you feel, what you know, what you think you know, no matter what happens or doesn't happen, don't even get tagged on to any of that stuff. Keep your mind focused on truth and the love of God. And you will never, ever go wrong. Father, we thank you. I know I haven't really said much, because like always, I don't know how to say the things I've seen. But thank you for what you've planned for us. Help us to be worthy. In your precious name, amen.